Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show tonight provides our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. In this particular episode, we'll focus on developing leadership skills in children. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. So let me bring to you tonight's host. For this evening show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, my good brother.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُلُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُبَارَكُ. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Slaw-Dean and I would like to welcome you, and especially those who have tuned in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. So we do encourage you to bring your questions and your comments to the lab, and you can do that by pressing 1, those of you who have called into the studio. And we're very much aware that we have a lot of listenership that tune in by way of the Internet. For you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And we ask that you bring an open mind and a open heart to this learning lab. And please, this is a learning lab, so it's like a classroom. Bring your tools, and that means that you should have a pen and pad, because there will be, inshallah, God willing, some noteworthy things that will be given tonight. And so also we want you to know that this learning lab, like the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it does have a foundation. And we have 3 sources that we use primarily in this learning lab. The first is Al-Quran, which is the final revelation that's given to all of humanity. And then there is the life example of the Prophet Muhammad in the living Quran, in living the Quran, and the demonstration of the Quran. And also the tafsir, which means clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad on the Quran, and also the life example of the Prophet. Those are the 3 sources that we have and we use as foundation for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And following the lead of our beloved leader, our scholarly leader, Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad, when he said that in definition, is direction. In definition is direction, and it also is a correction. And so we have given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that that is only the role and responsibility of the mother. No, it's the responsibility not only of the mother, but also the father. Also, we say that the parents' role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders, and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, having that type of mental attitude and disposition and consciously regardful of our relationship and responsibility that we have to our children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, we have established here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah, the Most High, who is perfect, no mistakes and errors, he is the first teacher of humanity. He's the first teacher of his human creation. However, he has given the honor and distinction to the mothers to be the first teachers and leaders, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the prayers and peace be upon him, has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that Almighty God, Allah, has given that honor and distinction for the care, and also given foundational knowledge to our baby girls as well as our baby boys, to the mother first and foremost. So with that being said, it's a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab as we head into our sixth year coming up in January, to always have an overview from the last episode. And for that, we go to our very distinguished esteemed host and facilitator, our partner, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. And how are you this Wednesday evening?
Wa alaikum wa Mark. Alhamdulillah, I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. You know, I'm always amped up on Wednesday. It's Parenting Family Reconstruction time. And if we're ever going to get it right in the society, all the ills that we see that we dislike, it has to start in the first social unit, and that is the family life. So with that being said, let me go back to you for our overview.
Yes, and that is so correct. Thank you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode for last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we're using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, and that's at www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. During this episode, we continue with Chapter 2. And Chapter 2 is entitled Understanding Your Child. The last topic for understanding your child is key factors affecting children's personalities, which include the subtopics family atmosphere, position of the children in the family, and methods of teaching. In last week's episode, we discussed position of the child within the family and methods of training. Beginning with the position of the family within the child, the points the author shared with us are: help your child to find a useful position in the family. For example, when a new baby arrives, the sister or brother becomes the helper. Be knowledgeable and aware of your child's specific needs and or needs of all children in general. Address those needs and problems when they appear. Mark added a verse from the Quran, chapter 17, verse 84, that states, everyone acts according to their disposition. He emphasized that the position can lead to disposition. To avoid adverse behavior or feelings, parents should give every child his or her due time with adults in the family. Parents should make children feel appreciated and valued. In some large families, children can be forgotten. Take time to show affection for all children in the family. Be fair and just with all your children. Deal justly. Oh, you who, now this is from the Quran, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Oh, you who believe, be steadfast for Allah in equity, and let not hatred of any people seduce you that you deal not justly. Deal justly, that is near to your duty. Observe your duty to Allah. Allah is informed of what we do. Help. Now, the next topic, the next point was help them to process what they see or may perceive with a new sibling coming into the picture. Have frequent conversations with them. And under the method of training or teaching, methods of training or teaching is the third factor that affects a child's personality. The basic principles deduced from the Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Number one, linking the child to Allah. Number two, being merciful and gentle. Be kind and lenient. We also emphasize that the children emphasizing child's positive actions. Whenever a child does something positive, please emphasize that. Using clear communication, be fair. Help the child develop their skills and provide a better alternative to things they do not want their children to do. And these are things that help child to help teach the child. Now, in terms of Islamic modeling, the author suggests that we lead by example and provide role models for our children. Other methods of training the children include giving gentle advice, offering rewards and punishment, building habits, using events, utilizing time properly, telling stories, and playing games. These methods have a great influence on developing your child's personality. We highlighted that linking the child to Allah can be done in every aspect of the child's life. The goal is to get the child to learn, to love, respect, and to please Allah in all that they do. Help the child to develop the skills and gifts that God has given them. Providing the children with experience can activate their potential. Parents must acknowledge the fitra, which means the potential of their natural self. They must cultivate, stimulate, and nurture the fitra of the child. The parent must have knowledge that Allah teaches man through creation and revelation. And parents must be knowledgeable of this in order to teach their children. There must be congruency between what parents say and what they do. Children are always observant. Building a relationship with the Creator must be exemplified in us, the parents, because children are great emulators. In conclusion, understanding your child is vital to their growth and development. As parents, we should strive to care for our children in the same manner that Allah cares for us, with love, compassion, and mercy. And we should do the same for our children, love them, show them compassion, and have mercy on them. If we don't get it right all of the time, remember that Allah is always protecting our children and us. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And I want to thank you, Dr. Patricia Saldine. As always, an excellent, excellent overview. And you can go back and retrieve that episode in its entirety. So excited tonight about moving from Chapter 2, which is Understanding Your Child, some great subtopics that we covered in Chapter 2. And Chapter 1, it was A Search for Self. Now, remember, the title of this book is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran, the Sunnah, and Practical Application for Various Ages. This is a very good book, a textbook. We do invite that you purchase the book so you can follow along, and it'd be an excellent resource book, you know, so that you can always refer back to it. Linking your child to Allah is the next chapter that we are going to dive into tonight. We want to say that we would love to have some audience participation tonight as you hear something in regards to this topic. And maybe you will press one and say, did your parents ever link you to Almighty God, and what your experience was if, in fact, that happened? Or as a parent, did you do that? So for that, we're going to go back to our very distinguished esteemed facilitator and producer, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, so you can get us started in terms of what the authors have said in regards to link your child to Allah. I thought that was a very interesting chapter when I saw that, or heard about that, because y'all know I don't read, so I ain't trying to fool anybody in that regard. But what do you have, and what is it that you have highlighted in that we can give to our radio listening audience tonight?
Okay, thank you, Mark. We linking the child to Allah, which is a very, very important concept, that, and inshallah, our audience will share with us some of their methods of linking their child or children or grandchildren to Allah. Mm-hmm. The author says that the concept of linking our children to Allah is a very important concept for Muslims. It is a continuous process that begins with the birth of the child. The instruction of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is to make the adhan, the call to prayer, in the child's right ear and the comma in the child's left ear right after birth. This way, the first word they hear is the same name, is the name of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From then on, parents should always make sure that the child is hearing the name of Allah, the recitation of the Quran, tasbih, regular prayers and applications, even if the child is very young and does not understand their meaning. Parents should take their children with them to the Jumu'ah prayer. After prayer, parents can put their children on their laps and make the end of prayer tasbih on the child's hands. So here the author is giving us from the very beginning, when the child is really, really young, the kind of things that we can do with our children to have them to link to Allah. Now, next area is talking about how we avoid giving our children a bad image of Allah. He says that parents must try to present a positive, protecting, and loving image of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to their children, and not in a threatening or frightening way. Unfortunately, some parents always paint a picture of God, Allah, as a punishing God by what they say and by how they say it. For example, some parents tell their children, if you don't do so and such a thing, Allah will put you in the hellfire. Even worse, some parents repeat this threat to their children over and over during the day. This is an incorrect approach that paints the wrong picture of Allah in children's minds. Young children are easily frightened. Therefore, it is more appropriate and better to talk to them about Allah positively, saying such things as, Allah loves you because you helped your sister. Allah loves you because you perform your prayers. Even when the children do something inappropriate, parents can still commit with a positive portrayal of Allah. For example, if a child is pushing her sister, a parent can say, Allah knows that you can play nicely with your sister, and he loves to see you sharing. So do you want to stop here and make some comments?
Yes, let's stop there. I think you said a mouthful already in terms of what the authors have given. So your takeaway on these two things already, I think it's very, very profound when we talk about linking your child with Allah. What is it that stands out to and for you in what has been said thus far, Dr. Slaudi?
Well, what stands out for me, Mark, is the positive portrayal of our Creator for the children. We all know that people say that even today, you know, they're always giving you negative images of Allah. You know, he's always telling you how you're going to hell and how your prayers are not going to be accepted. And, how, you know, even as adults, we get that from people. And so you make you feel like, you know, you ask the question, well, do you really, you know, is this what you're doing? Is it a punishment to you? You know, is this a punishment for you? You know, the way you're acting and the way you're portraying. But it's important that we remember that for our children, we must present, if we want our children to love Allah, then we must present Allah in a way that that the child can understand and perceive that as a loving being, that Allah is Allah is loving to us and cares for us and wants to protect us, and that what we do, if it's unpleasing to Allah, it's not like Allah is going to, how we present it to the child as to whether it's a punishment, you're going to be punished, or, that's not pleasing to Allah. Maybe you consider doing this another way that will be pleasing to Allah. So that way you kick that punishment, because sometimes punishment is not a deterrent for children. So that's what really stood out for me.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. Excellent what you gave. Very Very excellent indeed. You know, I like to start with the first thing that the authors have given, which is very important, which has become a tradition for Muslim parents in the new birth, a new baby, in terms of reciting the Adhan in the right ear. This is part of the tradition, and the Ikama also in the left ear. Why is that so very important? Because it was revealed first in the Quran that the first faculty to develop in the child is actually the faculty of hearing. And you might say, well, why is that? How is that linking? Because the first words that we hear in the Adhan is Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We have to also understand where the child actually is. The child is from 0 to 7 is the imprinting stage. This begins the what is called by social science as the formative years. Formative years. And our beloved scholarly leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, has said, words make people. You might say, well, they don't understand that. Yeah, but the words actually are forming inside of the child. It is forming inside of their memory bank. It's going to the subconscious of that child. Allahu Akbar. So we know that Allahu Akbar, as Imam Muhammad have taught us, it means that God is greater. God is bigger. And God is more important. And the reason I'm giving it like this and breaking it down in that regard, that we can't take Allahu Akbar to be just nominal, meaningless, marginal. We can't see Allahu Akbar as that, because this is what's recommended as part of the tradition, to recite that in the right ear first. And this is very important. And we know that Dan has much more than we have time for me to go through all of the words and its significance. It has great social significance in the impact of the thinking, the formation of the thinking of our child. It relates to the fitra, to the original nature of the child. It registers in their soul. Oh, there's so much I could say say about that. But we have to understand that this part of their life is considered the impressionable years at birth. Impressionable years where impressions are being made, impressing their mind. And hearing is the first faculty to develop. This is very, very important. And what it is to our children here, even when they're infant. Infant just simply means not yet speaking. But you are speaking. And what are the first words that you're saying to them? That God is greater, God is bigger, and God is more important. And in their development, when they begin to develop their speech, they've already heard the term, the phrase, Allahu Akbar. And now, because they've heard it, they are ready to be receptive of what does Allahu Akbar mean. And then we began to start to teaching them. There becomes a familiarity, because that idea, that concept is being lodged in the subconscious mind of the child. There's no better thing than we can say to the child than God is greater, God is bigger, and God is more important, because we will continuously teach our child through that basic concept when it comes to Almighty God, Allah, and that's the first step in linking our children to Almighty God. And, you know, I just want to say, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, very, very important. Imam Muhammad taught us as students that the Quran is commentary, or it is tafsir, clear explanation on scripture that went before it. That those of you that formerly were Bible scholars or at least students of the Bible and you read the Bible, and sometimes you came away with a little understanding, a lot of times a lot more in terms of confusion, we know in the Old Testament, just as Dr. Patricia Slaudine was reading, there is one picture that is painted of God as being stern and firm and punishing, unrelenting. All of those things, you understand, in giving that type of picture to the extreme, almost like unforgiving and very wrathful, you know, invoking his wrath on the people. In the New Testament, it's just the opposite, where now you have Christ Jesus in terms of the personification, in terms of God in the flesh, being loving and sweet and kind and compassion and all of the understanding, all of those things, which is just the opposite. So Al-Fatiha, in terms of looking at Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name, the Al-Fatiha gives the balance, letting us know that Allah has true mercy and that he is compassionate, as Dr. Slaudin so excellently articulated, is that God, there is a balance. And so what we want to do is to introduce those two attributes that Allah introduces in the opening surah or chapter of the Quran, Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. So Allah is extending his mercy through the natural creation. That's Al-Rahman. Mm-hmm. And even ourselves, because we are part of the natural creation. That's a lot I could say. I'm just skipping. And so if you have any questions, please raise your hand, press 1. I can go a little bit deeper into that in terms of how it is that the child is being linked to Almighty God Allah in giving the first two attributes that Allah chooses to introduce himself to his human creation. And Al-Rahim, let me give this before I give it back to you, Dr. Slaudin, Al-Rahim, that Allah is the most merciful redeemer. This actually puts in context how Allah has always redeemed his human creation when it went off the path, when it left the straight and narrow path that we call the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It was always Allah's way, his sunnah, of bringing his human creation back in accord to the fissure of the original nature, which is an innocent nature, which is a submitting nature. He did it with the word of revelation. And so in revealing to our children and linking them, we want to link them to the mercy, the compassion that it is that Almighty God, Allah, how he extends that to them. And in Al-Rahman, we didn't have to do anything to be able to get that. Much more I can say, but I think I said enough there. So hopefully you're taking good notes out there. And we're seeing how it is that you link your child to Almighty God, Allah, and what it is that you should be saying to them. And as their speech began to develop, now you can begin to put some flesh on the bone in terms of the knowledge and the logic in what those Islamic terminologies actually mean. Back to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin.
Okay, thank you, Mark. The next point is the how the Prophet fits into this, and it says telling stories of the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and emphasizing the fact that Allah supports the believers, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports the believers, are effective ways to link the child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make him feel that Allah is with him all the time. Some of these stories include Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect his messenger. It includes how Allah protected his messengers during migration from his messenger during migration from Mecca to Medina, and the one about how Allah supported the believers during the Battle of Badr. And I just want to add to, I was mistaken in reading, but not an actual mistake. Allah protected all of his messengers. Right now we're talking about Prophet Muhammad. So, and then with reciting verses from the Quran, that illustrates the concept that Allah loves the believers and supports them, also helps link the child to Allah in a positive and loving way. An example of such a verse is the last verse of chapter 16, and he gives this verse, certainly Allah is with those who exercise taqwa and those who do ihsan. And other examples are the following verses. And Allah loves those who do ihsan, and we will, without doubt, help our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and in the day when witnesses will stand forth. Now, these verses are found in Quran chapter 16, verse 128, and chapter 3, verse 134, and chapter 40, verse 51, for those who want to keep up with that. Parents should help set up situations to make the children feel that Allah is helping the children. One opportunity to do this is when the child misplaces something. Parents should help the child find it while they are making the prayer for lost items. O Allah, the one who has the power to resurrect everyone on a sure day, help me find my lost object. When she finds her belongings, this will have a great impact on her, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps her. If she does not find the missing object, it gives parents an opportunity to introduce the concept of dua and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to dua in different ways. Parents make sure that children understand that authority belongs to Allah. Even parents are subject to this authority. This can only be achieved with practical examples and by practicing what they preach to the child, such as praying, fasting, telling the truth, help being helpful. Parents should put their children in situations where they will see that other people are also performing such deeds and actions, and they are also subject to Allah's authority. Parents can do this by visiting other Muslim families and by participating in activities at the masjid and other Islamic events with their children.
Alhamdulillah. That's excellent. That's a lot of information that's going forth there, that the authors actually get giving. Before I ask you what stands out for you in what it is that you've read and those beautiful ayats, which are instructing signs in all, I'm going to say to those of you who may have just tuned in that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and Mark Shaheed. And the topic tonight is linking your children to Allah. And hopefully you're finding this to be a fascinating topic, you see, in terms of parenting skills. Now, remember, this is parenting skills based on the Quran, the Sunnah, practical applications for various ages. Don't you think that we would have a better world today if all of our children, just use your imagination, What if all of our children were linked to Allah and what it is that we're given on this learning lab? Just think about that. How would this world be, in terms of how it is that we see God and the things that we can do, you understand, to help to link our children to Allah, and how should see how they should see God, and see God as Allah would want them to see Him, and also in terms of their submission and obedience to what God says, and all. So this is very, very important, you all, and we do invite you to press 1 and want to just say now, if anything that you've heard thus far is resonating with you, I'd like to see a couple of few hands go up in the air in terms of if this is resonating with you. So after I go to you, Dr. Slaudine, just to get some type of commentary in terms of what it is that you extrapolated from what it is that you just read, then I'm going to go to a very distinguished, esteemed engineer, Rashid Salam, because I know he always is thinking. He's a thinker, 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 and get maybe some commentary from him. But we want to invite our radio listeners and those of you listening in by way of the Internet, you do have to call in, and that number to the studio is 714-816-467. To the very end, please call in now and give us something in terms of what you think, in terms of how you should see that we should link our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. So, Dr. Salahuddin, what stands out for you?
Since we're talking about stories, telling stories of the life of the prophet, one of the things that I learned doing my research of character development, that if you want to develop a child's character, the most effective way is through storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing the life of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and using his life stories to correct your child or to direct your child or to help your child to make a decision about something would be an excellent way to link them to Allah and to the prophet, because I want them to love the prophet as well. So one of I remember, I mean, there's so many stories that we could use that, you know, if your child is having some difficulty in something or just done something that you should not have done, the stories of the prophet and how he treated children can be a lesson for us as parents, because sometimes we get so angry with our children, but the prophet, when the child disappointed him, for instance, it was a young child who was in his care, and he asked the child to do something, and the child said okay and went off and did something else and forgot about what he was supposed to be doing. And so when the prophet came up on him and he was playing, but he didn't scold him or he didn't punish him or anything like that. Eventually the child, understood. Well, he said something to him, but he didn't punish him or he didn't yell at him. He wasn't mean to him. I just reminded him of what he asked him to do, and the child went off and did it. But that's for us, sometimes it's not necessary to chastise a child. It's not necessary to scold him. It's not necessary to point out what you're doing wrong. It's perhaps the best way would be to point out what you should be doing as opposed to point out what you're doing wrong. So I think storytelling is a very important method for teaching our children, showing them what they could.
Right, alhamdulillah. Dr. Slaudine, I'm glad that you shared that story. And this is why Imam Muhammad says it's so very important for us not only to study the Quran, but to study the seerah, the life example of the prophet, the life of the prophet, and how he dealt with many things, including children. I can see in that narrative that you just gave, where the prophet did not scold the children, did not become angry, and say, well, I'm going to punish you. And oftentimes as parents, sometimes we become guilty of actually doing that. The prophet, if we look at certain qualities there, obviously the quality of compassion should reach our mind. The quality of understanding. Understand what you mean, understand it. To understand whether a child was in their development as a child. Maybe, you know, if it's a child between, maybe say 5, 6, 7 years of age, what have we taught here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab? You know, they're in a playful mood. So knowing and understand that this is the nature of the child, as you say, you know, you just would remind the child that there was a certain task that she was given to do, but you stopped the play. So maybe in terms of completing that task, then there'll be time for you to play. But stay focused when you have something to do. Now you are teaching the child to get, you know, to teach the child how to have focus, because that is attractive to all children, the opportunity to play. Maybe they say to play ball, they see their friend playing ball, and their attention is diverted to playing ball. Now he's forgot the task, you see. So that wouldn't warrant that you would punish the child or whip the child or scold the child for doing that. You know, the child needs some compassion. Don't you understand that I'm a child? Have you not ever been a child before? You know, see, so all of those things are in that narrative. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually exemplified those qualities. And those are excellent qualities in terms of developing our parenting skills, knowing and understanding our child where they are. When we say each one, reach one, teach one, you have to know where they're at, and that's how you would deal with them. Let's go to Rashid Salam. Rashid Salam, do we have any callers with their hands in the air? We hope that we
do.
Yes,
you do.
Let's go to that caller.
Yeah, 314-305. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I think I know that.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Alaykum as-salam. This is Sister Nana from St. Louis.
Okay.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, I just wanted to the program and the subject matter is extremely important and so beautiful, how to teach children of how the importance of Allah. And I remember as a child, my mother was a very strict woman. I was raised by an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who knew her took her very seriously.
Okay.
But one of the things, I mean, she was strict, and she believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. So, you know, I was disciplined. But the thing of it was, I noticed that even as a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, if I ask her to come say prayers with me at night before I went to bed,
mm-hmm.
she would come into my room and get down on her knees and say prayers with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hit me the importance and the seriousness
mm-hmm.
of what prayer was. Now,
yes.
For one thing, we went to church every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and she was an active member, meaning that she was a part of she ushered, she was a Sunday school teacher,
mm-hmm.
but she took, you know, her religion very, very seriously,
mm-hmm.
and very strict. I mean, she was sweet when it came to that, but I never got over the fact that I could get her to come in my room and get down on her knees. But if it was about God, and if it was about saying prayer, then that was not, there was no question. She would be in that room and on her knees right next to me. And we said prayers every night, every night that I can remember. And then there was a came a time when I was a little older than she said, you can say prayers by yourself. You know, you can read and you read Bible, you know God, you can say prayers by yourself. But I just, you know, I knew how important God was simply because my mother took it very seriously. And I just wanted to share that, you know, with the audience.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad.
Thank you all. It's a beautiful subject, beautiful subject.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Donna. Well, we're glad that you shared that with us and the radio listening audience in terms of that's a beautiful, beautiful example of how, as a parent, that you can link your child to God, the importance of God's life in terms of praying with your child, you know. That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much, Sister Donna. Assalamu alaikum. Press one. As you go out the queue. So, yeah, we thank Sister Donna for that. That's a beautiful story. I mean, look at the impression that that left on her mind early on in her life. You know, so that's an excellent example of linking your child to God, especially when your child summons you to come in and pray with me. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, so alhamdulillah. Rashid Salam, we got any other hands in the air? Press one. Radio listening audience.
No.
Okay, Rashid Salam, you got to give us something because I know something has resonated with you tonight in terms of this topic, in terms of linking your child with Allah. What do you think about that?
Sir.
You know,
alhamdulillah,
Rashid, how
would
this... This world would be a different world if our children was linked to God.
Oh, and that's pretty much what I was going to say, too. You know, the fact that you said imagine, when you said imagine, you know, that all of our children were linked to God, and that reality in itself is you can recreate our own community. You can reimagine what it would look like to be in a safe place and a safe society. You know, just like what happened here in St. Louis where a guy said he was lonely. Only if he knew God would he have been lonely to the point where his mind would have deterred in the manner in which he did. So that link right there, that accepting that reality is something that we have to concentrate on and concern ourselves with, because our babies truly need to link themselves to something bigger and higher and more powerful than they are.
Well, you know, Rashid Salam, I'm glad that you brought that up. It was also, and I'm quite sure, you know, we speak to our national audience. It was all over the news, national news, and perhaps international news. Anytime you see the devastation that happened here in the Gateway City, and my niece, through marriage, was the principal of that school. And she was terrified, traumatized. As many were in terms of what happened. One of the things that they found in the car of the assassin was that not only did he say he was lonely, but he also said that he didn't have any friends and he didn't have any family. You hear that? No friends, no family. And he was a lonely person, you know. See, so I want you to understand, it can't be underscored enough in terms of the information that we're giving here. We need to take it seriously. And just like Sister Donna called in and she observed that her mother was very serious when it came to prayer, you know, remembering God. And we're talking about in the Quran in terms of linking, Allah says, Dhikr Allahu Akbar. Thinking and remembering on Allah is the greatest. And our scholarly leader, Imam Wahid Uddin Muhammad, has said thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest, and he put the punctuation on there. It's the greatest for what? For getting the best results in our life. I'm going to say that again. For getting the best results in our life. Please take notes. Please put that in your mind. Thinking and remembering God is the greatest for what? Getting the best results in your life. Now, obviously, this young man was not thinking and remembering God because maybe he'd never been introduced to God. Obviously, you know, his parents were not Muslim. And this has become a tradition. We just got through talking about the importance of the adhan being called in the right ear, the iqamah. You understand, to stand for that when he learned what iqamah is, standing in an upright. There's so much. There's so much insight in that. Mm. And to be consciously regardful of what God's word, will, and way is, and we teaching that to our children. Mm-hmm. Don't you know what Imam Muhammad said is true? Words do make people. And we just heard Imam Fahim Shuaib give an excellent presentation. And words can unmake you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This is very, very important. So I can't underscore it enough. So thank you so much for bringing that up. You know, but our children should never be in a mental state such as that. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, as Dr. Patricia Slaudine, in the highlights that she gave, Allah says that every human being behaves according to their own disposition. Or we could say every human being behaves according to their own socialization. The realization of that he never was socialized right or properly. And so as a result, we see that in the society, those things that we detest, you know, they're talking about guns and gun control and all of this. But what about the control in terms of the mental state of our young people?
Mm.
Oh, we got a big job ahead of us. It's a big responsibility. I know I've talked quite a bit, and we're getting close to the top of the hour. So, Dr. Salahuddin, I'm all fired up now. It's about time to wind down. But I do want to give you an opportunity. This is, I think, a very important topic and a concept that we have to think in terms of linking our children to God. If there was ever a time that our children, it's important for them to be linked to God, what it is that we're seeing and viewing almost on a daily basis, we can't become desensitized to these type of horrific things that are happening in our country and all over the world, as a matter of fact. Dr. Slaudine, got a couple of minutes to leave our radio listening audience, which you would like to leave.
Mark, I am the words that I've just heard tonight, it just underscores my feelings about the importance of our children being connected to a creator, to our creator, to their creator. It is so important. And we need to think about all of the different ways that we can do it. I thank Sister Donna for sharing her story with us. Inshallah, we'll get more stories, because the more we hear what other people are doing, what they've done, what they've experienced, that helps us in working with our own children and our own lives. So, you know, it's important that we help our children to connect to Allah, to God. And we have to make an effort. We can't just talk about it. We have to actually make that effort to do that. And it can't be connecting just at home. It should be connecting at school. Our children should be in school environments where they are connected to God, where there's a reminder in the school So they said, well, your public school, you have to leave God out. Well, then maybe they shouldn't be going to public school. As Muslims, maybe we should have our own schools. Maybe we should be supporting the schools that we have and
that's
creating
right.
more schools. That's maybe that's what we should be doing so our children can hear about God in school as well as at home. So those are my thoughts, and I welcome everyone to join us next week. And if you want to join us next week and you didn't want to say anything this week about linking your child to Allah, we're willing to hear what you have to say about linking your child to Allah next week, although our topic is going to be different. Our topic is mercy, kindness, and gentleness next week in chapter 4.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I want to say, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. First and foremost, I want to thank you once again, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, for sharing your insight and wisdom that Almighty God Allah has blessed you with each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. Thank the radio listening audience for tuning in. A special thanks go to our beloved sister from the STL. Proud of that. Our beloved sister calling in and sharing with us here her experience with her mother. And as we get ready and want to say, give you the greetings, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. Wa alaikum assalam, everyone.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it, the first hour here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we'll be looking forward to next week. And we would like to hear some commentary on their linking your child with Allah. And I know some of you, I'm going to summon some of you here in St. Louis to share your story and all, because this is very, very important. The topic that we've undertaken tonight, it cannot be underscored, because just imagine if, in fact, that every parent that was consciously regardful of Almighty God Allah in linking or connecting their child to the Creator. Very, very important. So as we get ready to transition to the MGM Roundtable, want to remind you that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. Tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with Karan Shakir. She's out of the Jewels of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we'll still be on the topic, the benefits of the sacred institution of marriage. So we're inviting you to bring some of those benefits. If you are married or you've been married or you know something about marriage, and you could be single, but you understand the benefits of being married and you're trying to get married, we'd like to hear from you tomorrow. And the topic will be part two on the benefits of marriage. And and don't come by yourself. Please bring a family member, a friend, an associate, or bring a community member to the Learning Lab tomorrow. So as always, I'd like to begin with a new production here with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Move back. And that is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. Well, as you know, I always like to bring and present to you very, very distinguished and esteemed guests here on the round table, inside of our community, the community of Imam David Dean Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight is I have the president and the vice president of the International League of Muslim Women with us tonight, our beloved sister Brenda Sharif and Voici Muhammad out of Philadelphia, and our beloved sister Sharif out of Memphis, Tennessee. With no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to you both. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Shaheed. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Alhamdulillah. I guess you can see I'm a little fired up after that. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is something that's near and dear to my heart in all. And I think that if we ever are going to remake the world, we have to begin right there in that first social unit, which is the family life. This is very, very important because many of the things that are happening in the world today that's horrific and seems senseless, we can trace it back to the family life or the lack of family life, the lack of the reverence, being consciously regardful of what God's word, will, and way is for us to live. So I'm very, very passionate about that. Yeah. And that really kind of relates to a lot of the work that you all are doing is interrelated. So I heard your voice, President Sharif. What about our Vice President, Farsi Muhammad?
Assalamu
alaikum. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Alhamdulillah.
Okay,
how are you?
Well, I want to welcome both of you. It's an honor to have both of you here on IWDM Radio and on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's an honor for me to have both of you here. You know, we often hear about the International League of Muslim Women, and we may know some that actually are members, but I don't know how much it is that we really know about this, so I like to maximize the minimum, and the minimum is time. And so I'm going to start with you, President Brenda Sharif, in terms of just give us a little brief in terms of, you know, history and of course, Vice President Farsi Muhammad, that you also can give a little bit in terms of how this all got started, the International League of Muslim Women. And welcome again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And again, we thank you very heartily for this opportunity to be here with 360 Radio, and would like to take this opportunity.
Well, this is IWDM. I was formerly on that platform. That's our sister station. So this is IWDM Radio. Yes.
I definitely apologize, brother. Oh, I apologize.
Okay. I mean, we're related. That's our sister station, but this is IWDM.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, we are. We're you know, we're very very happy and honored to be on this platform, and the International League of Muslim Women thanks you very much for the opportunity. I'd like to actually flip the script a little bit and ask, if you don't mind, that our international vice president, Sister Varsity, give us our historical view, and then I will come in and add some additional information within her presentation.
That's fine. So, our beloved Sister Varsity Muhammad out of Philadelphia, the vice president of the International League of Muslim Women, and also you're the president of the chapter there in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection there, Sister Muhammad.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, I am. Yes, alhamdulillah. So we have a small group of sisters here in Philadelphia, and we've been working collectively here trying to get the word out regarding International League of Muslim Women. In terms of our history, International League of Muslim Women birthplace, as many do not know, is out of Detroit, Michigan, in 1981. And we do have seven founders who founded the organization. The vision and ideal initially was the group of sisters saw the need within the community, especially Muslim sisters serving a greater purpose. And that greater purpose could have, you know, was seen by helping those with low socioeconomic challenges, mainly women within the community, by providing clothing, household goods, and assisting with individuals and family challenges. Those seven sisters who founded the organization are Sister Cheryl Elamin, Sister Sharifa Hud, Sister Tahira Halik, Nakia Shakur, Dr. Viola Vaughn, Georgia Wahid, and of course the very first international president, Madam Sahara Muhammad, who made up the seven founders and was the first international president.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you know, that's very, very, very important to know, you know, in terms of the founders, because anytime something has been established as a viable entity as the International League of Muslim Women, it had a beginning, and somebody will get the credit for founding that. And so 1981 was the very inception. So if you would talk a little bit about the vision, you kind of touched up on it in terms of some of the things that you initially started out doing, but talk a little bit about the vision and the mission. I know our radio listening audience would really like to know that, and perchance, hopefully, that some of the women that are listening in, Muslimas and all, and I'm going to also ask you the question, too, you know, if you're not a Muslim, could you be a part of the International League of Muslim Women? So talk about the vision and also the mission.
Absolutely. This is Brenda Cerise, and I'm just going to, you know, look at and also to bring forth, you know, the mission and the vision of the International League of Muslim Women. Because of the work that those seven founders were involved in, you know, promoting unity, collaborating, promoting awareness, and providing services to those that are in need, as Sister Varsity, you know, gave you earlier, a developed and solid mission statement, you know, came forth. And since 1981 and throughout our development, our mission statement has been refined. And our mission statement says that we are a 501c3 nonprofit women's organization. We are definitely grounded in Islamic tenets. We're found all throughout the United States, where we do, as Sister Varsity mentioned, we use our collective resources to promote empowerment through philanthropy and humanitarian work, through service and volunteerism, which really is at our core, service and humanitarian work. Also through educational research and development that will enable individuals and families alike to see the opportunities that are available to them instead of focusing on the obstacles towards the enrichment of their particular place in the world. In terms of vision, you know, I believe that our organization wants to be a model Muslim women's organization, not just here in the United States, but also in the world.
Yes.
We want to be able to empower women to become better leaders. We have leadership in organizations, but we all know that we must be leaders of ourselves.
Yes.
Leaders in our families, leaders in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very important to us. It is our vision that we do become, you know, those who help to empower those who want to enhance their lives, and we do that through the implementation of our core values and our core focus. And I would like for, I'll finish this statement, you know, our main focus really is the philanthropy, humanitarian work, service, and educational research and development. However, we do have our core values that are so important to us. And at this time, Sister Varsity will give you our core values.
Yes.
Sister Varsity?
I want to just say this here. Excellent. Thank you so much, Sister Sharif, for saying that if there ever was a time that we need to hear the woman's voice, especially from God-conscious women, that is needed, very much needed today in terms of the empowerment. I think that's so very important. So thank you so much. Yes, please go ahead, Sister Varsity Muhammad, in terms of looking at these values.
So the core values were selected by the board of directors, and we selected our core values based off our seven founders. And one of those values are trust. Every organization should have, you should be able to trust one another. So trust was very important to us, and service, because we're providing a service to the community. And the third one was integrity, as well as empathy. And we touched earlier about education being in our mission and making a commitment to the work that we're doing, as well as developing relationships. So those seven values is what make up TIL. So when we look for membership, we're looking for sisters who are trusting, providing services, sisters with integrity, be able to have empathy with one another, education, be able to make that commitment to serve the community, to serve one another, and develop and strengthen that relationship as we provide the service to our community.
I love it. No, those are, wow, you said principles and values. Those are the type of principles and values that all should have men too, as far as that go. But I really love that. And all. Now, I got to ask you all, you know, President Sharif, in terms of the chapters, how many chapters do you have here in the continental U.S., and do you have any chapters outside of the continental United States of America? Sister Sharif?
All right. Yes, yes. And I'm going to answer your second question first. And
okay.
That is, presently, we do not have an active chapter outside of the continental United States. That is always an open area for us, and we would definitely love to reestablish that, because in our history, under the leadership of Sister Sahira Muhammad, we
mm-hmm.
did have chapters that were located in Central Africa. So, you know, that is always an opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the U.S., we have very strong chapters, and right now I can't think exactly of the number. Sister Varsity could probably give you the number. I can call their names.
Okay.
however, and I will do that.
That's okay.
Inshallah. Okay. But Sister Varsity, how many are there exactly?
So we do have 10 chapters. Yeah.
10 chapters, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And if we begin with the northern northeast, we have Rochester, New York.
Mm-hmm.
We have, Syracuse is with Rochester, New York. But we also have the New England chapter.
Okay.
We have our newest chapter, which is New Jersey. We have Columbus, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Chicago, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not forgetting about you, Sister Varsity, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm feeling.
I knew you was on the East Coast there.
Absolutely. Okay. We also have the chapter of Florida, South Florida.
Mm.
We have Atlanta, Georgia,
okay.
And we're not forgetting about Memphis, Tennessee. And
oh.
Did I forget any?
Chicago.
Mr.
No, she's
Chicago,
Chicago,
Illinois.
I did count.
Yes.
I was counting.
Okay.
She got 10.
And actually,
let me tell you.
Actually,
forget
we forgot one more. Nation's capital.
Yes. The
Washington,
okay.
D.C.
Yes.
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 Absolutely. A very well-established chapter, D.C. So we have chapters central and east. And we have a few chapters that are somewhat southern. And we would love to have chapters established in many of the other states across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say reestablished, because
okay.
Again in our history, we had chapters, active chapters in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
In Las Vegas,
okay.
in Jackson, Mississippi, and we would love for those chapters to be reestablished and begin to thrive and do the work of
yes.
the International League of Muslim Women. And you mentioned something so very important, and that is that the world here in our small United States and the world
yes.
All over needs to hear from women.
Oh, yes.
Needs to hear from Muslim women. And
absolutely.
They need to witness the work that
mm-hmm.
we are doing in our communities. The International League of Muslim Women is a loved community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, he spoke highly of the International League of Muslim Women and wanted us to continue the work that we began under Sister Sahira Muhammad's leadership and the vision that those seven founders had. He wanted us to continue it beyond his physical presence.
Yes.
So we are a very welcoming and open organization. And we, you know, love working with like-minded organizations here in our local communities and nationally.
Yes. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, praise be to Allah, you know, that kind of leads into a couple of other questions in terms of rapid-fire questions I'm going to be coming with. I want to say to our radio listening audience that if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with your host, Mark Shaheed, and I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, the president and the vice president of the International League of Muslim Women, Brenda Sharif, and Varsity Muhammad. I have joined me here on the roundtable to disseminate some excellent information in terms of the International League of Muslim Women. So if you have any questions or comments, this is your opportunity to engage the president and the vice president of the International League of Muslim Women. And I think I'm going to ask some questions that perhaps maybe some of you don't ask, or maybe you're wondering in terms as we were talking about the chapters that they have. I'm going to ask them about in terms of ambassadors that perhaps maybe, say, doing the work, and I'm going to ask them how you can help them and all, and then we're going to ask them in terms of what constitutes actually the criteria for establishing a chapter here. So we'd like for you to engage. Don't wait to the last minute. We want you to engage our guests. We're pressing one if you have a question, or maybe you have a comment, or maybe some of the things that they're saying is resonating with you. And brothers, you know, you should applaud the sisters. I do. I'm not afraid to do that, because this is what it is that we need. You know, when we start talking about remaking the world, as our beloved leader, I know for a fact that he loved the International League of Muslim Women and the profound effect that they can actually have, not only in the continental United States, but all across the world, to help to dismiss the misnomers in terms of how we should see Muslim women. And our Muslim women actually are leaders, and they're leaders not only in a small confinement, they are leaders and can be impactful in the world at large. So we have the two leaders here on the MGM Roundtable. Please press 1 if you have questions or comments. So that takes me, and so Rashid Salam, please alert me if anybody got their hands in the air, and I'm going to give you opportunity, Rashid, because I know you got a question or comment. So Rashid Salam. Okay, let's go to the callers to see what they have on their mind. Let's go.
Okay. All right. We have 773-449. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
We're getting an echo there. Please hang up on that. It may be kind of dissing yourself from your
students. Okay. Something's wrong with that line.
Okay, so we'll come back to the caller. Please be patient, engineer. He'll be working on that. But in the meantime, between time, you know, I don't run out of questions and everything. So, caller, just be patient. We'll try to get you in without the echo, of course. We like to have a clean, crisp broadcast, as this will be archived in IWDM Radio for those, for not only now, but for times to come, where they can go back and they can listen to this interview and get this information in regards to that. And we like to see, I would like to see, that this becomes an inspiration, motivation for women. So let's go back and, you know, what constitutes a chapter? What is it? What is the criteria for a chapter? I want to go to you, Sister Sister Varsity. Let's tell us about what constitutes if we hear somebody want to establish a chapter. What is it they would have to do? Varsity.
So, So the first thing, if sisters out there, if you're listening and you're interested in starting a chapter, what we ask you to do is to first network within your community to find five sisters who can support you, because you will need five of you to get the chapter started. So once you've initiated that and decide that you do want to move forward with the chapter, we ask that you'll reach out to our regional director, who is Vicky Bashir, and you will first need to express your interest in the form of a letter. So you'll formulate that letter as a group and submit it along with a letter from a sister who is already a member of the International League of Muslim Women. So you'll need a support letter and a letter of interest to move forward. If you, initially you're not ready to start the chapter, but you just want us to come in and have a roundtable discussion just so you can get more ideas or get more information as to who we are, we are also open to that. We have our regional coordinators we have Sister Caroline in New England, and then we also have Sister Tenora who can connect with people within those regions to help support you and guide you through starting a chapter. So again, we're always open. We also do collaborative work with Like Minds organizations, sister organizations. So again, just getting that information. I will also go as far to say, attend one of their, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in, you know, find one of the chapters and go and visit and see and network and see what they're doing to get you a feel or an interest and awareness of what we really are about and what our work is, what we're doing continue to spark that interest in the organization.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you were very, very detailed there. Let me ask this question. You said five. Are we including the person that is taking the initiative? Would that be six, or would they be included in that five?
They will be included in the five. And the reason for the five is that they will start your core offices. They will be the foundation of the offices. That will be the president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, assistant secretary. So you need that. You need those people to get the paperwork, to formulate that group, to do the legwork and start getting the initiative out. So that's why you need that five.
Okay, very
yes,
good.
Yes, it will include the initial person.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to go back to our engineer to see if he's been able to rectify this here, and then I would suggest that maybe if, in fact, they could text them the question, if, in fact, we get this echo sound. So hopefully, Rashid Salam, have you been able to rectify that problem?
Well, not at this moment. I'm going to try it one more time and see if this, we can
let's
get
see.
This correct.
Okay.
Hang on. Yes, I think we have it taken care of. This is IWDM Radio 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad out of Chicago.
Alaikum
assalam,
Amir.
Thank you, Brother.
So you have a question, a comment for our very distinguished guest?
I have just a comment. Just acknowledging and Muslim Women League for the work they do. When the sister was reading your vision and a mission statement, I never heard it read like that. I live in Chicago. We do have a chapter here in Chicago, and the sisters here, they're really committed, and I acknowledge you all for the commitment that you had. I met Sister Zahira, the original president, when I went to go to Detroit and with Mayor Muhammad to have his convention there. Such a mild, sweet, spirited sister, and I see the same spirit in the commitment that you sisters have, and I just wanted to just acknowledge you. I'm not a part of the Muslim Women League yet, inshallah. I anticipate in the near future, just have a busy schedule myself, but I just had the call to acknowledge you all for the great work that you're doing. May Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
I can respond to a sister. I think that was so very, very thoughtful. And we like to see more of that in our community. You know,
yeah.
I'm a student of the Quran, student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. When we really learn this religion, you know, it becomes an obligation to support. And Allah says in the Quran that we are to enjoin all that is good. You don't have to lead everything, but you do have to support everything. And if it's no more than words of affirmation and encouragement, acknowledgement, seeing the good, as Imam Muhammad taught us on Arafat, you know, he said, yes, meaning get to know. He said, but it also means to recognize. And he said, recognize what? Allah wants you to recognize the good that he has deposited into others besides yourself. This is very important. Believers,
yes,
we have to do that. This is why I use this platform, the MGM Roundtable, because I have to recognize the good in others besides myself and have a platform for them to come on, such as the International League of Muslim Women. Our sisters are doing remarkable work. And they're dedicated, they're committed. This is very important. So if you're listening in, you just got the criteria, what it takes. Start that conversation in your local masajids and Islamic centers because it's enough work for everybody. I mean, we need women leadership. Imam Muhammad was an advocate for women leadership. He even went so far as to say, right women leadership, I get right with them and follow right along behind them. Yeah, he said that. Some of you know
yes.
that. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, you know. Rashid Salam, do we have any other callers that have pressed one and they want to ask a question, make a comment?
Well, not at this time, Mark. We
not at this time. Okay. Well, I want to give you an opportunity whenever, but I got more questions. I want to flip the script a little bit here, Sister Brenda Sharif and Farsi Muhammad. I do want you to talk about, if you will, Sister President, I'd like for you to talk about some of the things that you're actively doing. And I am aware of the fact, and maybe Sister Farsi, you know, that you all had a presence at the most recent convener imams conference and everything. Please talk about some of the things that you're presently doing to our radio listening audience. Mm-hmm. Sister Sharif, you want to start?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I think this is very important in that people want to know. People want to know, what is the league doing?
Yes.
We have what we call core programs that all chapters are really encouraged to participate in annually. One of those core programs is our Sahira Muhammad Grandmother Mother Daughter Luncheon. And it can be a luncheon.
Say it again.
Yes. The Sahira Muhammad Grandmother Mother Daughter Luncheon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And it is during that time that it's a very a happy occasion. It's fun. We invite sisters from all over. It doesn't have to be Muslim. It can be those sisters we've engaged with throughout the year, our family members, whomever. But it's an opportunity to highlight and recognize women, and I'm going to use this term because the term is who they are and what they're doing, women servant leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Women servant leaders, women who are leaders, and who are doing the work in the community, in the local communities. And it could be a Christian, it could be a Jew, it could be Muslim, but they are women who are outstanding in your community that are doing the work, that we too do. So that is one occasion that it's very celebratory, and we all enjoy it. We all enjoy it. And then, of course, we have our Angelique Sahira Muhammad Scholarship. And I want to give Varsity the opportunity to speak to this because Varsity is not only our vice president, but she is the chair of our National Education Committee. And the Angelique Sahira Muhammad Scholarship is an effort, it's a national effort that we have rejuvenated. In this few years, we've rejuvenated it and actively promoted it. So I would like Sister Varsity to speak to the Angelique Sahira Muhammad Scholarship.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, please, by all means.
Alhamdulillah. So the Angelique Sahara Muhammad Scholarship was formulated based from our founder's daughter. I don't know if you realize that the name was her daughter. She passed away at a very young age, and in honor of her memory and her mom's work that she has done in the community, we wanted to promote education and be able to assist a young woman or young lady going off to college to further her education. So with that, the league, the sisters in the league have formulated a scholarship. 2 years ago, we offered our first initial scholarship of $500, and we have since increased that scholarship to $1,000. So the scholarship is open to any young woman within the community who's going off to college to further their education. We know it's not a large $10,000 scholarship. Inshallah, we will get there. But we wanted to be able to give back and support women who are going off to school and to further their education. So the scholarship is also open in April, the initial first month of April. It will go open where people can apply for it. You can apply online through one of our Google accounts, or you can send it back through, you can pick up an application through one of your league members at one of the chapters, and you can always send it back through the mail. So whichever one you're comfortable, whether it's the email, technology, or regular postal, but you do have up until June, the first week of June to get it back to us. Again, that scholarship has increased to $1,000, and we strongly encourage young women who are going off to college, you're in your senior year. If you're involved in community service work, we do ask you to mention that. You do have to write a small, brief essay about yourself, and we do ask you to send in your scholarship and to obtain a personal, like a character reference from someone, whether it's your teacher or someone in the community or the masjid. We do ask you to obtain one of those character reference, and you just submit it. It's an easy way of getting, a little bit of few dollars to help you out.
Yes.
You don't have to put it towards your bill. You can put it towards whether it's your materials for school, whether it's for materials for your residence life, but we let that be your decision how you want to spend it. But again,
yes,
it's $1,000, and it is available. It's up for grabs. We're hoping to send out to assist two young women in that scholarship.
Yes.
So please, if you know any young ladies out there who are going off to college, please, we strongly encourage them to apply for that scholarship.
You know, alhamdulillah, you know, you're so detailed because you took my other question away from me, which is, no, it's okay. That's good. No, that's good. I need to rest my voice anyway because I got another production right after this. You're,
we have a hand raised, Mark.
Okay, we got a hand raised. So let me say this, and then we're going to go to the caller. You gave the criteria in terms of what it is that is required of you, and then we're going to come back to you because I want to ask the question how, you know, those that want to donate, I most certainly want to donate something is worthy of that in terms of helping to send a young Muslima on to college, and I think that maybe some others might want to. So we're going to Rashid Salam. Mm-hmm. Who do we have in the queue with their hands up and want to ask a question or make a comment? Rashid?
Okay, we have 314-258. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. You know that voice, but introduce yourself. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Wally Fakana, and I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, you got a question for our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Wally Fakan?
Yes, I've, as a member of the masjid, I consider myself a member of the masjid there, Al-Muqannun in Memphis, the leadership under Imam Wally Shaheed and Sister Brenda and her husband, who's Imam there. He was there for many years. And they do some tremendous work there, the league there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for calling in, you know, and actually endorsing them. And this, I was aware of a lot of the outstanding work they do, and so wanted to give them a platform to let them know. And hopefully, inshallah, God willing, you know, some people will hear that, be inspired and motivated, and especially the sisters, because this is the International League of Muslim Women, and this is something that our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, strongly supported and endorsed from its very inception. And so we have to be supportive of our Muslimas in our community, and all in the good. And like I say, you know, when we understand the religion, you know, we're obligated. It's an obligation, you know, to support the good. And there's different ways that we can actually support that good. I try to use this platform to support all the good that's happening in our community. And this is one entity that is doing good things and deserve that type of recognition to be able to get that information out to our community. So thank you so much, Imam Wally Fakan, for calling in. And I know you support the good, too, that it is that you see. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Fakan. We thank you so very much. And to have our brothers support us is very important. Women, we can do so much, but to have our brothers there to so-called have our back.
Yes.
You know, we have some chapters, many, many chapters actually, that actually go into the community to do work. There are some chapters that are providing what we call displacement services, distributing personal hygiene products or blankets or food. And they actually go into areas that some people might consider, not necessarily the best places to be. But our brothers are there as our security and as our support. And we can never forget our brothers and the support that they give the International League of Muslim Women nationally and on the local level. Definitely thank you for all that you do for us. It is so important. you know, I did want to have us to focus a little bit more on the services.
Yes, and
chapter,
that's where we want to stay,
you know,
with that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's still open in terms of what it is that you're really doing. So by all means, and Rashid Salam, please alert me if somebody would raise their hand. Yes, please stay with that in terms of all what you do service-wise. Rashid, can I hear something from you? No, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Brenda.
All right. You know, in order to be effective in our work, oftentimes we have to be trained. We have to get the appropriate educational background or information in order to do the job that we need to do, in order to provide the services in the best way that we can. And we have a committee, a national committee, that works to give us those opportunities. We have domestic violence awareness. And so that committee, you know, has presented to all of us the opportunity to become trained and where local chapters can go to receive basic training in domestic violence awareness, what to do, how to recognize, and then how to move forward in that particular area. Also with preventive health and wellness, not only for ourselves individually as members, but for our community. What are we doing in our local communities to promote good health?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know about alternative health strategies? These are some of the areas that we are supporting, and we are trying to get to our communities, our local Muslim communities, and just our community in general, because our communities need us. They need that kind of information. We also provide clothing and maybe home maintenance. Products, furnishings, and those kinds of things. There are many sisters, organizations, chapters that have drives to collect, you know, coats. This is the time of the year many of our northern chapters are having coat drives. And those coats, after they're collected, they are distributed. You know, locally to those who need. The same thing with, you know, home maintenance and furnishing. We don't want to forget about our senior citizens. They are our jewels. And so, you know, we want to ensure that they hear our voices. You know, COVID, and I have to bring this up, COVID really set many of us back. It actually created, you know, some real interpersonal and personal challenges for people.
Yes.
Many people became depressed through isolation and not of their own fault, but it was because of this health challenge that was presented to us. And so just reaching out to the senior citizens in our area, a phone call to let them know we care, you know, providing them with a food package they might not be able to get out, and you know, ensuring that they have what they need in order to be comfortable and to know that people care about them.
Yes.
It's so important for our senior citizens.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you know, people say, okay, well, you're International League of Muslim Women, so how does that come into play, the international part?
Yes.
You know, I did address, you know, on a very small level, the fact that historically we did have international chapters, but it's not just the chapters that becomes international. It may be the work that we do that is international. And so we do have a real humanitarian and philanthropic effort through our international educational outreach program. And I'm going to again ask Sister Varsity to explain what the League has done internationally. Sister Varsity.
Yes.
Yes. So internationally, we have reached out to, we've done collaboration with several organizations, and one of the organizations that we have sponsored, make donations to in terms of education was the Mali Initiative School for Ghana. The League has made donations to that organization, who is also doing a tremendous work over in Ghana in building school for Muslim youths there. The other initiative that we have done is the Sewing Project with the Senegalese women in Africa. So the League, prior to the restructuring of the organization, used to send sewing machines overseas to the women there who will make clothing and assist them in that area. The other initiative that we have done and continue to do is work with an organization called Bridge to Africa Connections. And they're actually started out of California. It is a nonprofit organization, but they've done work, a lot of work in Ghana, where they're rebuilding schools there and sending kids to school. You can actually sponsor a child to go to school yearly. And the League has done sponsorship with them by providing desks, assisting with building desks for the classrooms. We have also made donations to the library projects. They have since rebuilt a library project for one of the villages there, so we have made donation there. We have also made donation by sending the woman underclothing and things of that nature, because they cannot get those, we have feminine requirements and there's a strong need for things of that. So the League have also made contribution there to that organization. So those are just three of the international projects that we have continued to work on and sponsor in the organization.
I tell you, you all are doing quite a bit. I mean, and I like that what President Sharif has said in terms of how that connection in terms of international and the collaboration with other entities, and this is following the lead of Imam W.D. Muhammad in terms of like-minded people, but serving humanity, and I'm a very attentive listener in terms of being a servanthood leader. And I think that the International Muslim, International League of Muslim Women actually exemplify that. We're right at the top of the hour, but I want to give both of you an opportunity, and this won't be your last time on. I'm going to invite you back, and we want to go more in detail, but I do want to give you opportunity for closing remarks. And I also, President Sharif, want you, our Varsity, to give information in terms of how you can be contacted, how those who want to make donations and contribute to the efforts that you're making. I think you're 501c3. And all of that. So I'm going to start with you first, Varsity, in terms of any closing remarks that you would like to make, and if you want to disseminate the information, how those who are interested can get in contact with you. Varsity.
Shukran. Yes. Alhamdulillah, I want to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be here with you and to just talk about the league and what we're doing in our communities. So we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do that. In terms of the scholarship, if you're out there and you're listening and you want to make a donation to our scholarship, we welcome it and we encourage it. Again, we're 501c. You can send that monetary donation to paypal.me/TILMWINCNATIONAL. That's paypal.me/TILMW Inc. International. You can also send it a check, a money order, to TIL Inc. National Attention Scholarship Fund, P.O. Box 1028, Memphis, Tennessee, zip code 38101. Again, that's zip code.
I need you to do that one again because I may be doing something by the snail mail.
Okay. All right. So it is.
But the snail mail still arrives at some point, right?
Yes. It still arrives, and we still check our PO box. So for those of you who still want to do the do it manually, we understand. So it's TILMW Incorporated INC dash National NATIONAL. Attention Scholarship Fund, and the P.O. Box is 1028, and that's Memphis, Tennessee, 38101.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that. And we're right at the top of the hour. We're going a little over, but we got another production right after yours here. President Brenda Sharif.
Yes.
What would you like to leave in your minute with our radio listening audience?
Well, I definitely would like to thank you also, Brother Mark. This is definitely an opportunity for both of us and for our entire community. I think that the legacy that our founders left is in very good hands and will continue to grow and thrive and do the work that was intended to be done here in this life. I would like to invite everyone, the sisters especially, to our annual International League of Muslim Women Conference, which will be held in the third week of July in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And would love to see all of our beautiful sisters there. And if the brothers would like to come, you can come to our annual meeting where you can learn more about the International League of Muslim Women. So we thank you, and we continue to offer du'as for all of our sisters all over the world.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam, and thank you so much, Brenda Sharif, the president, and also Varsity Muhammad, the vice president of the International League of Muslim Women. It's been a real honor to have you on. I want you to know that you have an open door policy here on IWDM Radio, and especially here on the MGM Roundtable. So we'll be calling on you again in the very near future, because never enough time to ask all the questions and get all the answers. But we thank you greatly for accepting my invitation. May Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Okay, alhamdulillah. There you have it. Press 1 as you all go out. And we got part 2. It's a double header here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As you know, I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And there is probably no hotter topic that we have than what's coming up one of our largest entities and is well establishing itself to something that our community looks forward to every year at the end of the Gregorian calendar, and that is the time to be grateful, the time to be grateful. 2022, held in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and we have a panelist tonight, and they're going to disseminate a lot of information updates, and those of you who are planning to go, hopefully you're tuned in and locked in. And so we're going to do a little roll call. I'm going to extend to hopefully everybody that's supposed to be on have pressed 1, and our engineer has opened your mic. I'm just going to extend the greetings, and then we'll do a little roll call to make sure that everybody's present. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I heard one voice. I should hear 3 others.
Alaikum
assalam. I heard 2 voices. Do I hear 3 or 4?
Alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Aisha.
Okay, I see. Aisha, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, so I should hear a 4th voice. Let me do a roll call here. So we should have Aisha K. Mustafa. We should have Joan Nudgela. We should have Naima Abdullah. And we should have Nada Hamid. Is everybody here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Pardon me?
We are here and accounted
okay,
for.
Okay, you all are here. Okay, so, okay, I want to say assalamu alaikum to all of you, and it's an honor to have all of you here tonight as we're looking, getting closer and closer to this year's time to be grateful to be held in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the 9th through the 11th of December. And we want to maximize the minimum. The minimum is always time. So we're going to start with you, of course, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, in terms of asking you to kind of set the platform here and in terms of this year and in terms of how we look in here and what year is this in terms of the time to be grateful, and then we're going to move right down the line some specific questions for those of you who have been invited. I know you're really excited, Aisha, about this year and Washington, D.C. Once again, my dear sister, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you so much for having us and allowing us to come on frequently to share with your audience Muslim Journal news as well as the Time to Be Grateful information. You have a fantastic panel on tonight who I'm waiting to hear from as well. Inshallah. Well, the last time that we met physically, we were in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That was a beautiful weekend. That we had people came from the East Coast to the West Coast, and that's actually how we were building it, East Coast, West Coast, because usually we expect people on the East Coast to attend things that are on that side of the nation.
Yes.
But we had to go collect our people on the West Coast, so we definitely wanted to make that presence known for all the believers that are on the West Coast. And we were pleasantly surprised of all the travelers who came from the East to the West. So that was a spectacular weekend that we had. And right after then, of course, everybody knows COVID set in, and we did not do a time to be grateful the year after.
That would have been 2019. So it had been at the end of 2019, Los Angeles, California.
And then
2020 would have been the skip year, and last year, 2021, Atlanta, Georgia, virtual. But even that, I think that was even successful, too, and that was historic.
Oh,
for the Muslim Journal of Time to be grateful.
Yes, sir. It was most successful, and I thank Allah. That's how I really got to know Sister Naima.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about the silver lining. Surely after difficulty comes the ease. And
yes.
The silver lining was the sisters in Atlanta who stepped up. Brother Imam Hamid as well, the entire community of Atlanta. The shining star that stood out, I have to admit, was Naima.
Yes.
A lot of people worked behind the scenes, but she kept it moving. She took the lead on more virtual products that we had for that event. And I said she was the silver lining out of that COVID that I knew her already, but we got to know her as a skillful organizer, a skillful communicator, and we'll never forget her. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
We'll never forget her.
Right, and she's got a presence this year in the 2022, and we're going to be getting to her in just a few minutes, and so I wanted to get some opening comments from you, Aisha. And what I'm going to ask, if I get a little feedback, I'm going to ask those who are not talking just to mute yourself if I hear the static, because we do want to have a crisp, clean broadcast as we archive all of this in IWDM Radio Archives. So we're going to go to the National Chairperson for the Time to Be Grateful, my good sister and friend, Joan Najla. Assalamu alaikum to you, Joan, and welcome back to the MGM Muslim Global Roundtable here. Joan?
Yes, thank you so much. Wa alaikum assalam. I'll tell you, I am excited to be brought back on and to share some new updates and to talk more about the programming that's going on for A Time to Be Grateful in Washington, D.C. So I look forward to talking after the two other guests talk, Naima and Jada, because they have some exciting programming.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd like to bring some updates
yes,
after that.
Yes, most certainly. I would like for you to do, if you would now, Joan, because as you know, I'm a communicator. My major is communication. So we want to dismiss any misnomers that anybody may have out there. Oh, I was going to the Time to Be Grateful this year, but I heard that they were all sold out. I want you to address that. Where are we? Is there still room for those that want to come and those on the fence? Joan?
Oh, absolutely. We are Washington, D.C. is a dynamic host, and they're putting together excellent programming. Tickets are still available for all events.
Okay.
And mainly, sponsorship and ads are available. And everyone just needs to be plugged in by going to the Muslim Journal, www.muslimjournal.net, ATTB. Page off the menu, or either the nationsmods.org, and go to events and be updated on what's going on. But yes, tickets are available. The host hotel is not at the group rate, but there's local hotels in the area that we are going to post on the Muslim Journal website, and look forward to getting the Muslim Journal as well. And some of these updates will be posted there. But, yes, there is tickets still available for all events. And especially they have added the youth event where they are going to have a lot of youth activities.
Yes.
So that's a positive thing. And I think that's age 7 to 15.
Okay. And, you know, you're really paving the way for me as I move down the line here. Also, while I got you here, Joan, because I'm going to come back to you to give some other update information, but we know that the host hotel there where everything would take place has been sold out for about a month and a half, and Washington, D.C. is really on the move here. But don't fear, because there are other hotels in close proximity. Please talk a little bit about that. If you would, just take a couple minutes or so to let the radio listening audience know that if you come there, you can still make your reservations and still be in close proximity, and you won't have to take a shuttle or Uber or something to get there. Joan?
Yes, absolutely. The Host Hotel, which is the Hilton Crystal City, is not sold out, but it's the group rate that
has
stopped.
The group rate is sold out. Okay, okay.
Right, right. But the hotel is not sold out, but the neighbor within walking distance, literally, are the Crystal City Marriott, the Hyatt Regency, the Holiday Inn, and the DoubleTree Hotel. So they are right in this proximity of this quad that people can still go get rooms and still go online and get your tickets through the event.
And they're within walking distance, am I correct?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
And that's very, very important to note. I just wanted to make sure we get that information out there early, and we might repeat it, because I don't want anybody to have any excuse. As Professor Aisha K. Mustafa said the last time that we met, for the time to be grateful, which I was present there in Los Angeles, California. So that was the latter part of 2019, and so this will be actually 3 years, and I know there's a lot of anticipation in the air, the anxiety, and as we get closer and closer. So thank you for that information. Let's continue to move down the line here, and I want to go to my beloved sister, Jada Hamid, and she is the chairperson for the MCC, that is the Muslim Culture Con. Assalamu alaikum to you, Jada, and welcome back to the MGM Roundtable. Jada?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. You're going to become a regular on here. Maybe I'm thinking about retiring a little bit. Maybe I might think about having you to replace me here. What do you think?
Oh, no. I believe that.
Well, you know how we feel about you, and so I have to commend the time to be grateful, because each and every year what I'm seeing is steady progression, and, you know, just as the National Chairperson Joan has just spoken in terms of youth and also young adults, you are going to have a big and a major presence at this 2022 time to be grateful in Washington, D.C. So why don't you take a few minutes, Jada, and talk about the MCC, the Muslim Culture Con, and what will you be doing there, and what can our young adults expect, because there's going to be a great presence that's going to be there, and you're going to be doing some things that's going to be, I would say, informational, educational, and perhaps also fun and enjoyable. Once again, welcome. Jada?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Assalamu alaikum. And alhamdulillah, thank you, Mark, for having us on, or having me on. But also, I would love to thank the Time to Be Grateful chair and the committee, and also to Saisha, for allowing us to partner with you guys. And if, you know, anyone isn't familiar with Muslim Culture Con, Muslim Culture Con is a developing organization of a collective of Muslim young adults located in various nations, states. And we've come together to create spaces and to create environments where for Muslim young adults on a national standpoint, and also to give them the tools necessary to have a successful life and also to build on community life as well. And so, inshallah, for the time to be grateful, alhamdulillah, we will be having a couple of events at the conference. And inshallah, on Friday, December 9th, we're going to be having a Muslim Culture Conversation Lounge, which is a networking event. And that's going to be happening from 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. And inshallah, with that networking event, it gives the opportunity for Muslim young adults to come together, to network, to also formalize relationships, and also to know more about MCC. And then also that Friday evening, inshallah, after the culture night, we will be having a late night cipher. And within that cipher, we'll be having artists, singers, poets, you know, whoever is wanting to, you know, share their work. We're going to be having a late night cipher for those. And then, inshallah, Saturday.
Oh, wait a minute now. I got to stop you right there. So, you know, you're saying that us old heads can't and won't be invited or what?
I'm kind of teasing,
but I'm also asking that question, too, you know, because I think most of us will probably be retiring, going to our rooms to get some sleep or some rest, but I just want to know.
So the late night cipher for the people that are going to be participating, it is geared towards young adults only.
Okay.
But for if you would like to watch or, you know, be there.
In other words, you're saying we're not taking any applicants, you know, for performance there.
Nope.
Okay. I want to make sure the information is accurate here. That's what we got you on. Okay.
Absolutely. And then, inshallah, Saturday for December 10th, during the workshop, we will have a Muslim Culture Connections roundtable, and that will be geared more towards having a discussion amongst each other on the future of our community, and also we'll have a lecture and also an interactive exercises throughout that roundtable workshop.
Okay.
And that's going to be on
Saturday?
Yes, December
10th. That'll be on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll be on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you got pretty much, you know, going on, you know, starting Friday and also Saturday. That seems like that's going to be very, very informative, a workshop, roundtable. Those are all the topics that you all will be talking about. And I'm so elated and so anticipating attending because everyone have embraced the MCC, the Muslim Culture Con, from Fitr and Muhammad to study al-Islam. Now, you know, we look at the time to be grateful and giving your presence there. And we hope and pray that that there are young adults that are listening. I know that you all are so savvy in terms of social media that we look to have a large presence of young adults that will come there because there's leadership that is forming there. And I like that you say that this is a developing organization that we have high expectations for in this community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're going to move on down the line. Last but not least, as Professor Aisha K. Mustafa was talking about the great contribution, that she was really a key piece last year in the historic virtual first time for Muslim Journal, Time to Be Grateful, that was held in the Jewel of the South, that's ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. But now taking on a different role in terms of fashion coordinator, the very extraordinary I didn't sister. Abdullah. So talk to us. Welcome once again back to the MGM Roundtable.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So thank you so much, Brother Mark, again, as always, for having us on here and being able to come and share about this beautiful event, Muslim Journal, A Time to Be Grateful, because it's always a time to be grateful, right? So some of the things that we talked about.
Now, I'm going to say to you on national radio, Aisha, you're going to have a special place for Naima Abdullah. She's got to be, I'm recommending, she has to be an ambassador.
Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum. Joan and I will get together on that, but that's a good title. I know my voice
don't mean much. Y'all ain't taking sure. You said Mark Shaheed. You're just a talk show host. And so my voice may not count.
You carry a lot of weight. You know, you carry a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, I'm talking about the physical weight, but you're talking about the other weight. But anyway, you and Joan get together because she's got to have a special place there because I can see the good in her. Like Imam Muhammad said, look for the good. She's a natural ambassador, bar none. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Naima Abdullah, the floor is all yours. Fashion coordinator this year.
Yes, the fashion show coordinator. But if I can really quickly, I want to make sure that we continue to make sure that we are acknowledging the consistency of the Muslim Journal, even in 2020. So although we did not physically meet in person, we still had a fundraising campaign for the Muslim Journal that the goal was to actually raise $30,000, and because of all of the love and support from the national community, we were able to actually raise over $42,000. And so, again, we didn't physically
meet. Allahu Akbar, that you exceeded
Yes, we exceeded that. So, again, that goes to show you that we are here, again, as a community, continuing to support the Muslim Journal, and that there has not really been a break in terms of, like, oh, we weren't together. We were together. It was just online again. So we started off online by doing the fundraising, and then, of course, it culminated into an actual convention or conference, A Time to Be Grateful, the following year. But this year, my role is serving as the fashion show coordinator for 2022. So I'm super excited about this. Of course, people in the community know me. So fashion is just kind of one of my things. And being a fashion show coordinator for the Atlanta Masters for the last 11 years, this is definitely one of my passions as well. And what we will be doing for the fashion show for Time to Be Grateful is, again, coming together with our beautiful brothers and sisters. We know how important fashion and just the look of a Muslim is in our society these days. And so knowing that not only is modesty a multi-billion dollar industry, but that many of those fashions that are seen by all of these, you know, illustrious companies actually came from the Muslims. And so we are here to, again, stake our claim as beautiful black Muslim women and men and making sure that those fashions will be shown on the stage this year. And we will be soliciting various designers across the United States. We don't have a lot of slots, but the slots that we do have, we want to make sure that we are filling those up with people that will have fashions, again, that really resonate the history of our community. And, again, the theme itself, although sometimes people may think that, you know, the theme of inalienable rights is kind of like not towards fashion, but it actually is. And so when we start thinking about even the theme overall for this conference, it really goes back to us having the freedom to be ourselves, to be our natural, modest and dignified human being self. So that is why it's so important, not just for the women to attend, because, of, again, we want to make sure that the young girls see the beautiful fashions so that they know that in this world that is tempting us to be all kinds of things, we can still dress modest and still be beautiful. And then for those men, of course, looking at these beautiful fashions, knowing that their wives can still be beautiful in these clothing and that they have daughters that they can purchase these items for as well. So it's all about a multi-generational as well as, everyone basically coming together for the fashion show and making sure that everybody goes on, purchases their ticket, because, again, it's not just like, oh, we're going to have lunch. This is a statement that we're making, and we have to continue to make this statement to the world because we are beautiful, dignified, and at the beginning of it all, we are Muslim. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. No, very well said and very clear. Now, the fashion show will be with the luncheon. Is that?
That's correct.
Correct.
That's correct. On Saturday. That's correct.
That would be on Saturday.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, Saturday. Okay, so that's Saturday, the luncheon and fashion show. Now I gotta ask this here because the brothers will be upset with me if I didn't ask. Will there be some male models in terms of the fashion show? I know it's gonna be predominantly. The sisters in terms of the fashions and everything and how beautiful they look and dress and everything. And modesty is still kept. Any brothers, Naima, going to be a part of this or what?
Yeah, so we are seeking male designers. We want to try to get at least two, and we're also seeking male models. So there is an actual form where people who are interested in modeling can fill out that form. We're going to be placing that actually and sending it out through the Muslim Journal Communication as well as Master Muhammad Communication. And then once everyone gets those links, they'll be able to sign up. So, again, we're looking for both male and female designers and wanting to make sure that we get a portion of both. I know that there are there's at least one designer who does both male and female clothing, and so she will be representing both of those. But, yes, we want to make sure that we have something that represents a little bit of everyone so that when the men come out and come and participate and support the fashion show, that they will also see something there that they themselves can walk away with when they leave the luncheon
okay.
as well.
Or if not, they most certainly can spend their money on their wives or maybe say potential wives.
Yes, always. And you know, as we say in the Muslim Journal world, don't just come to a time to be grateful. Make sure that you're saving your money so that when you come, you can also spend your money.
You can get some money to spend.
Okay, yes, sir.
Naima, see, that's why I know I'm not going to be in on that Shura Bainahum that Aisha and Joan going to have, but I can't see them coming out with any other decision other than to make you the chief ambassador. I'm just the chief ambassador. So we want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Your host, Mark Shaheed, and I have as my very distinguished guest, Aisha K. Mustafa, Joan Nazarallah, the national chair for the Time to Be Grateful. And we have Jada Hamid, who is the chairperson for MCC, that's the Muslim Culture Con. And also we just got you talking to our beloved sister, Naima Abdullah, who has a different role this year, as she will be the fashion coordinator. And so if you have any questions or comments, this is your time to ask these questions and everything so you can get it straight from them, because we don't want any. So everything was sold out. There was not enough room for me. They are making room for those who have not yet registered. We're going to get that information out to you. And also, you know, where you'll be able to make reservations for your stay for the 2022 Time to Be Grateful held in the nation's capital. So there's a little history that's going on there, too. And so, you know, when they make these choices, they take in consideration all the things that's going on and happening there, and they've been making some great choices. And each and every year, I have noticed that it has grown more and more and more. So before we go back to Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, I want to go to Rashid Salam, our engineer. Do we have any hands in the air at this time, Rashid? You know, I don't run out of questions.
not at this time, Mark. We don't have any.
Okay, not at this time. So don't wait till the last few minutes to raise your hand. Aisha, boy, you got to be excited yourself. And please take a few minutes and talk to our radio listening audience. What year is this? For the time to be grateful. Each year has been a natural progression, and halal. You know, everything is halal, and we're looking to enjoy ourselves. We're going to learn something, and we're going to enjoy ourselves, and it's just a special, special thing for believers to come together and see each other, and this is the largest entity that now we presently have in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Talk to us, Aisha, about how you feel about that. And I think you have surrounded yourself with some wonderful people and made some excellent selections, and the outstanding job that the committee is doing there. Washington, D.C. is on the move. Aisha?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I got to get back with John on this because we've been going back and forth on that number. She keeps asking me, is this the 18th or the 19th? So, John, I think we do have to go back and acknowledge the virtual conference that we had in Atlanta with Naima and the sisters and brothers of Atlanta when we put on the conference virtually. We do have to give it a number.
Aisha, it was absolutely a success. And you know, I just want to say just, you know, real short, that Naima, I think her business name is Get It Done. What is it, Get It Done? And she lives up to that slogan, get it done. And that is, Aisha, that's worth a number. We might want to say 17A or 17B.
We'll give it a whole number. And we have time enough to adjust in D.C., you know, the record keeper will be that night. So we can, Atlanta will be the 18th, and D.C. we will confirm as the 19th, which they have been putting on a lot of things. We've been going back and forth on it. But Atlanta, the virtual was the 18th, and D.C. will be the 19th.
Okay.
But also, Brother Imam, before that, coming out of Los Angeles and right into the COVID pandemic,
mm-hmm.
that year, Joan had a encore of our presentation that we preserved from Bermuda. We had mm-hmm. the best time in Bermuda, and we had such an exceptional culture night. We went downtown to the Culture Center in Southampton, Bermuda, and had the culture night, and it was recorded in good form. And so
yes.
the year of the heat in the middle of the pandemic, we had a special showing, online showing of the Bermuda culture night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still exciting just to watch it, and the people who were in the audience, like Imam Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis was in the audience. And one of the things on the stage, the sister who was MCing, we call
mm-hmm.
her Princess Purple. Princess Purple, Nadia. And she's actually from Atlanta, from Atlanta. She comes out of Atlanta. She's a nurse, but she lives in Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
And she called out to the brothers in the audience. She said, who's the fireman in the audience? And a lot of people don't know that Mikhail Sahir is a Indianapolis fireman. So he said, I am. You know, and it was another brother, the brother from Kansas City, the reciter. also, it was a fireman.
Oh, yeah.
They were both sitting there together. So they said, "We are." And it was like she was saying, "Oh," like she didn't expect to get an answer. But it was two Muslim brother firefighters on the front row. So they got up, whatever the little skit was. Anyway, you know, but that just recording these events and having them in our archives for times when we had to go back and pull from that. But that was one of the best times we had was in Bermuda. It was a smaller crowd, and some people asked us, "What you going to Bermuda for?" I said, "It's Muslims down there."
That's
and
right.
they come up to the States every time we have something.
That's right.
But before I get lost, I want to put a shout out and a strong recommendation with Naima with the fashion show. The last time we were in D.C., the brothers participated in the fashion show.
Okay.
And the lead brother was Suleiman Salam Jr.
Yeah.
Out of Kansas City.
Yeah.
And he
right.
is such
mm-hmm.
a, and the, you know, he used to belong to a musical group. I didn't have the name with me tonight.
I can give it to you. That's my good friend, Imam Suleiman Salam, there in Kansas City. It's known as Islamic Force.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no pressure, but Suleiman, if you're listening, you need to call Naima.
I love it.
You need to call. And there's one other person, Naima, that you know from Atlanta. Well, he was in Philadelphia, and when we had a time to be grateful, the 12th one in Philadelphia, he was one of our he was a youth awardee.
Yes.
And he did his rap under the name Afrique because he's generational African to the country, not African American, mm-hmm. but African. And he did his poetry. He grew up in Philadelphia. He did his poetry under the show name of Afrique. But that's Yusuf Komar. Yusuf is a tailor.
Uh-huh.
Yusuf makes
He's in Atlanta.
Yes, he's in Atlanta now, but he came out of Philadelphia. But he is a teller. I have seen his suits. You know, he does online measurements and makes suits for delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And he started making women's business jackets.
Yeah, and he was one of our awardees at the 12th annual Time to Be Grateful. So another plug. He calls me mom, and I call him my son. So, son, we looking for you.
I love it. You know what?
You got a lot of shout-outs tonight, Doug.
Yeah. But, you know, I
like to add to that this why this year Master Muhammad is calling it the family fashion show program because
okay.
the fashion show is going to be the major highlight. And I just have to say that embracing MCC, Muslim Culture Conference, into it is us transitioning to the right space because with Jada and them coming in and embracing it, and there's a distinction between young adults and we don't even know the name, and the youth program. So there's a youth program and there's a young adult program. So, Jada, you guys got to help us with the name because we say Generation Next, Generation Now. Somebody said the Generation Adam. So we need to know what's the proper name.
Right.
So maybe during the conference you can give us a little dialogue on how
yeah.
we should name
well,
it,
you
should be
yeah, you know, that's
generation.
A good question that because I was going to work my way back to Jada in terms of actually what the MCC actually is. And just to take a few minutes, if you would, Jada, in terms of how you see yourself as the Muslim cultural con and how you make the distinction in terms of the youth. And of course, Joan, I really appreciate the fact that there is going to be some youth activities. And this is the growth and development, really, the time to be grateful, but I know they're excited about having the MCC with them, as this is, as she described, a developing young adult Muslim committee. So I want to go back to you, and also while I got you, Jada, you and your husband, who just recently married, you're going to be a part of a panel discussion. Also, that's going to, you're going to have a presence there. So, Jada, please, if you would, define what is the difference and how did you come up with this, you know, in terms of young adults and the MCC. Jada.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, that actually, that conversation, that point, and I think it's still growing and developing, as you mentioned, but as MCC, as Muslim Culture Con, as we were establishing ourselves, I think the term, well, young adult, we kind of veered towards college students, like college people coming right out of high school, going, entering college, and then, you know, individuals who are independent at the moment but are developing and coming into, you know, seeking marriage and other things in their life. And so with Muslim Culture Con, one of our mission is to help guide those young adults that are, you know, not that aren't familiar with their communities, or don't have any direction, but to provide that environment and that space for us to come together as a collective and be able to understand and be able to guide through this way of life, and also have a space to have conversations in regarding to the responsibility of community life. And so, yeah, so...
Now, would you say, would it be safe to say how we would make that distinction? Because I heard Imam Muhammad speak on that, but I'm just simply saying, you know, simplistically, that a youth would be, if you're looking at age-wise, would be one that has not been fully emancipated in terms of shouldering the full responsibility, maybe still at home with their parents, and of course, there's going to be something for them. But when I think about young adults, and I'm glad Joan asked that question, because it was our beloved sister, I can't think of it, brain freeze here. Well, my sister Anissa. Anissa Dewan, she would hang me. I can't remember her name. Anissa Dewan, who actually brought that to the forefront in terms of how it is that we should see our young people not as the future. We're talking about young adults as being our future. No, you are our present. And I'm glad that we're beginning to realize that, because sometimes when you're older and you're still living, you're still referring to young adults as our future. No, they are our present. And Imam Muhammad said, anytime you have a homonym, there is a connection. Yes, you are present in terms of presently you're doing things for the progression of the community and promoting model community life, and you're very valuable and needed. But you also are present in terms of that you are a gift. And so if we don't recognize that, we will still be looking at you as our future. No, our youth, our children, that's our future. But when you're a young adult and now you're taking on the responsibility that adults take on, you are our present. You are the now and everything. And this is where, as older elders, pioneers, we should be moving aside, and there's always a place for us in terms of maybe it's an advisory capacity in some instances, but even giving you enough freedom to be able to think for yourself and to make decisions that would be valuable in terms of moving this community forward. This is something I know personally that Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, he wanted to see, and this is something that he worked for. I know his soul would be happy to know that this is a development that is actually happening, and the time to be grateful is embellishing and also providing that opportunity. So please, if you would, you're going to be a part of the panelists in terms of there's going to be a workshop, a panel in terms of marriage. Talk a little bit about that. You and your husband, Zay, are going to be a part of that. Take a minute or two if you would.
Yeah, it's something about I'm actually super excited to be amongst this panel because it's going to be a good opportunity, alhamdulillah, for us to share, you know, our experience as newlyweds and also to have the experience to be amongst other that are either, you know, further in within their marriage or, you know, have a kind of like a middle experience. And so alhamdulillah, I'm looking forward to that workshop and being amongst that panel and then alhamdulillah sharing the beautiful experience that I'm a part of now with my husband, alhamdulillah, and also, you know, me being young and my husband being young, you know, us sharing that experience as well. And we're both community workers, and so alhamdulillah, I'm looking forward to that workshop, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I wanted to say that because it just came to my attention today. I was always being informed in terms of they're going to be four couples, and they're going to be representing at the 20s club, if you will, be the youngest ones that's on there, newlywed, with, excuse me, and we're going to have a couple that's going to be representing the 30s club, and I think been in military and all, and then we move from that in terms, I think, the 60 club, and then 70 club that'll be facilitating, and I don't know why they need me on there, but they asked me to be a part of it in terms of opening it up and talking about the sacred institution of marriage by way of the Quran and helping to field some of those questions and stuff too. So a lot of those questions are going to be coming from the audience there to all of the couples, including Jada and her husband, Zaid. And so that's going to be a very good workshop to really attend. So I just wanted to just say that. So we want to go back to our radio listening audience. If you got any questions, comments, and all as we're getting closer and closer to the top of the hour, this is your opportunity to ask your question. You can do that by pressing 1. If you're listening by the way of the internet, we know we got a lot of people listening by the way of the internet, you have to dial into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. This is your opportunity to ask any questions. I want to go back to you, Joan. Rashid, do we have any hands in the air before I go back to our national chair?
Mark, I believe we have one hand. I hope it's not from the previous program. We have 773-449. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Samir again.
I
love following you around, Brother Mark, because you have such a distinguished program. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. I have a question and then I have a comment.
Okay.
I'm registered as a vendor. And as I listen to the program, mostly when I come to programs, I do the vending part, and I do miss out on some great opportunities when I'm not able to participate in, you know, like the workshops. And I'm beginning to rethink my commitment to vending because I miss so much otherwise. But registering as a vendor, is there additional fee, registration fee, besides the vending fee?
Good question, Joan. Can you answer that? In terms of the registration, there's a what you call a full registration, and then there could be like a la carte that one could actually do, and maybe say depending on their situation and circumstances, maybe as a vendor. Joan, Nigel, can you respond to that?
If I understand the question, if we're talking about vending only, there's only the vending fee. But if there's participation in any of the workshops, there's no registration fee for any of the kinds of the Grateful this year. But there is a fee for each event that you may want to attend. And so the workshop is a fee, the tour, the family lunching, fashion show. Actually, Jada, your program, does it have a fee? I think your program.
Well, can I help you out here? Because, you know, I've been in contact with Imani, Imani Abdullah, who is the chairperson there in Washington, D.C. There is a, what you might say that there is a cost in terms of registration that would actually include everything. So you got that, everything. I won't just, you know, just divulge that. Now you can actually go to the website and get the cost there. But then also a la carte being that you can pick and choose those things that you want to attend. And that includes the banquet itself, maybe say the lunch and then fashion show. This is like a la carte. In terms of I don't want to miss that. I may miss the workshops. Then there are tours that will be had, which can and will be a cost that is separate in that regard. You know, these are some of the things I have been informed of, and you know, this you know, I continuously just to promote the time to be grateful, and so you can and will have a choice. In that regard, but there is what is, I would say, a term as a package deal, whereas that everything that will be going on and had, including the lunch and the banquet, all of that is and will be a package deal where you can register what they call full registration and be entitled to any and all of those things. That includes Friday, Saturday, and also with activities is Sunday. So it's the whole shebang there, but you can also do a la carte where there would be a course. And so you just look to see what it is that you want to do, what it is that you want to spend. And for vendors, that probably would be the best thing to do. You know, in regards to that, because you'd be spending maybe say, a lot of your time in terms of vending. So go online.
Yes. But my brother Mark, online. There's no registration fee. There's no registration per se fee. It's packages a la carte, but there's some conferences have a registration fee, and there's no registration fee.
So in other words, okay, so in other words, and this is a national chair speaking, so we want to make sure that it's clear. So in other words, if you came and just say, just to give this scenario, you don't want to go to the banquet, eat no food. Obviously, you don't want to go to the luncheon and enjoy the fashion show. Okay, those are the only two, I think, that where meals are involved. But you wanted to go. To the workshops. Say maybe you want to go to the marriage workshops with the couples and everything. You could, if you come there, you could go in and out of the various workshops that they have, and it would be no cost to you. That's what you're saying?
No, my brother Mark. I'm saying for the workshops is part of the a la carte. The workshops are $25. There's no registration fee to walk in. Say Friday you just wanted to go to Juma and say you wanted to walk around and shop. There's no registration fee to enter.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, no, I got that. No, I understand that, Joan. So maybe I got misinformation there, because what was told to me that they put together, just like when you see in the a la carte, they added this up, this up, this up, this up, this up. And then they said this is a package deal. So that's why I'm, maybe I might be using the wrong terminology in terms of registration fee, but they got a package deal where everything that you would be, that would be being offered, you would get the whole package deal. Or you can just do it just a la carte, just want to do this, that, not something else. Am I correct on that now?
Yes, you're true. There is a package and there's a la carte. And if you want to attend the workshop, there's a $25 fee.
Okay. So go to, you know, you can get that information on Muslim Journal, and then I'm going to have you to, Joan, to give that information where they can go and they can actually see, and they can actually select what it is that they want to do, what they don't want to do, and everything. If they want the whole package deal, that's a certain cost. If there's just certain things they want to do, that's a certain cost. That'd be a la carte there. So there is some flexibility there, and especially for the vendors too. So I think hopefully, Amira, that answers your question.
Okay, the comment that I had, I was inspired by the young sister that just got married. And when you all were talking about the different age categories, it was inspiring because some of us sometimes we may have gone through a marriage and then maybe a divorce and we get discouraged and say, oh, well, I don't know if I'm getting married again. But, you know, just the idea of being able to put different categories into age groups, it's an inspiration. It's an inspiration to want to look into the possibility of getting married again. And, you know, our young people, it's an inspiration, too, because they stepping out, you know. They're stepping out in the name of Allah and getting, you know, fulfilling their obligation as, in marriage. So I was just encouraged when, you know, when she was speaking about the marriage part, because I think it's so important that we continue our life in a way that supports human nature and just, you know, creating a future for ourselves. And we don't have to think just because we get a certain age that, you know, we're not entitled to be happy in a happy marriage. So I feel like that's been anything.
Thank you so much, Amira, for bringing that up. And I know that's always an attraction, you know, in our community. So I'm glad that the time to be grateful have a spot on this year in terms of having something for those who married, and also be an inspiration for those who are aspiring to be married. So thank you so much. Press one as you go out. Boy, I tell you, we're already at the top of the hour here, right at the top of the hour. Here, I'm going to do this. Rashid Salam, is there any more that they have their hands up and want to ask a question or make a comment? And Rashid, I don't want to leave you out because I think you you plan on being there, right, Rashid? And
yes.
What do
yes,
you
sir.
Have to
I'm
say? You plan on being there?
Okay. I'm enjoying the information. Okay.
You're joining.
No other hands to raise at this time.
No other hands. Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go down the line here, and I'm going to, I know my sister, Naima Abdullah, I think I might have forgotten about her, but, you know, I already put a plug in for you on national radio, so I don't know how Aisha and Joan can refute the suggestion, recommendation. Well, you being the chief ambassador. I know she probably said, I'm going to get some Mark Shahid for doing this. But anyway, we want to go to you and give you a minute and a half or so for your closing comments. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience? Are you being the chief ambassador? And I'm calling you, I can do that on IWDM radio, I'm calling you the chief ambassador. I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell the people why you should be coming to Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Naima.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you again so much, Brother Mark, for allowing us to come out. I just want to remind everybody to, again, get your tickets, get your plane tickets, get your buses, get your cars, all come to Washington, D.C. Of course, this, we know that this is the nation's capital. Come back to the in-person event. I know that people are going to be so excited to see one another. And don't forget to come stepping in style. And that includes both brothers and sisters joining us for the fashion show this year at A Time to Muslim Journal, A Time to Be Grateful. And again, remembering that it is always, always a time to be grateful.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said, and all. I was thinking about being in the fashion show, but, you know, now that you said you're going to have some representatives, I changed my mind. So thank you so much, Naima.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah.
And so now we go to our sister, Jada Hameen, the chairperson for the MCC. That's the Muslim Culture Con. You got a minute and a half for your closing remarks. What you want to leave with the radio listening audience, Jada?
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, I'm just super excited, and I pray, like Naima said, everyone get your tickets, make sure you book the hotel, and get your travel together, and inshallah, I am looking forward to the A Time to Be Grateful conference. I always call it a family reunion because it's lovely to see all of the beautiful faces and everybody in the community. So, yes, inshallah, everyone get your tickets, and inshallah, we'll see you in D.C.
Alhamdulillah. And thank you so much for that. And I want to go to our national chairperson, our beloved sister and friend, Joan Najla. I'm going to give you 2 minutes because I know you might want to have a closing remark, but I want to make sure that you disseminate the information, website, and everything where you can go and look and choose a la carte, of course, or the package deals and everything. And I don't know whatever else will be posted on the website. So, Joan, you got
Well, my brother Mark, thank you so much. And I'm going to say the best for last, with, of course, with Aisha ending and closing. But I do want to say this is an opportunity for the Muslim Journal newspaper to have a presence. And it's a presence to the Muslim community and the non-Muslim community. That's why our awardees are awarded for civil engagement and community service or anything that is, can highlight moral excellence. And this year, everyone is coming out, and we are so glad to look at the early support. And I know we're going to get some late support. The tickets are still available. You can definitely go to www.muslimjournal.net, get your subscription, go to the ATTBG page, or you can go to the nationmoz.org. But we are looking for ads. The Superior Journal is a key state. I have mine from the last 14 years that I attended, and it's a key state. And we're looking for you to advertise, to do a graduatory. This is Muslim Journal compilation of 60 with the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Speaks, and as well as Master Muhammad 85th. It is something to graduate, something to be proud of, something to put your ad, your business, or even give a message. So I say that November 1st, the tickets will go up for a price. So latecomers, try to think about maybe being a little bit proactively and getting your tickets now while tickets are still available, and let you know that the price will go up. There's so much programming, and you heard about two. It's going to be a special, A Time to Be Grateful. It's going to be informative, engaging, and it's just going to have cover the four birds, and we're looking forward to everyone supporting the Muslim Journal all year long, and as well as at A Time to Be Grateful.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said. So hopefully you got that information going to the website. And then there's a time frame in terms of ads, you know, so this is an opportunity because there are going to be a lot of people there that's going to get the souvenir. If I'm not mistaken, generally speaking, those who attend the banquet, Joan, if I'm correct, they will get, since it's doing, like a la carte, they will get the souvenir brochure, the ads in there, and so many will see your advertisement there in terms of your business products and services there at the Time to Be Grateful. And so last but not least, and of course Aisha, she has her own time frame, so I'm just going to just give her a time, and whenever she finished, then we're going to close out, you know, in that regard. But Aisha, you know, this is, we can't even make up our mind in terms of what this is going to be, but I think because we did have a presence, and it wasn't like a physical presence, it has to be counted some kind of way. But Aisha, you got 2 minutes, and her 2 minutes, not like everybody else's 2 minutes, so don't be sitting there counting and everything. Aisha, you got your 2 minutes. Okay. What you want to leave with the radio listener?
Okay. I want to kind of quickly summarize a few things that have come up during the hour's conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put it at the top of the list, and no pressure, but email Mark, you might need to know that Naima is expensive.
I ain't said I'm going to pay her now, but I'm like, I'm endorsing her. And so maybe y'all can find, well, look, you know, in our community, a lot of times we can't pay our people, but at least think about a stipend.
We're gonna have to make her an offer she can't refuse.
but I do
guarantee you, you get your money's worth. but I'm gonna follow that up with when she raised that $40,000 for Muslim Journal with no event, she didn't charge us a dime.
Come on now.
I mean, absolutely. She raised
$4,000,
and we didn't put on anything.
Aisha. I'm trying to help promote her, and then I'm hoping that I'll get a telephone call, and she might say, "Well, you know, I'm gonna make you my manager, Mark Shahi, and maybe she'll give me 10%."
just know that the year that we didn't do anything, Naima put on a fundraiser for Muslim Journal, brought in $40,000+, and all we said was thank you. We didn't have a song. We didn't have a trio. We didn't give poetry. She just put the word out there. She put it out there so strong, and people just said, okay. and then when she hit her mark of 40, she said, "Oh, we still got time. Y'all can do more than this." and she kept going. She said, "Oh, we still got time. Y'all did 40. Let's keep going." But also, there's so much that has come out of this. And while we were talking about the fashion show, I'm sorry, I'm a news person, so I have to drift into my profession sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think of was the young women in Iran burning their headscarves in a protest because of an oppressive regime.
Mm-hmm.
That a tidbit of hair showing out from under somebody's scarf cost them their life.
Mm.
So we value what we have. We value the beauty that the sisters portray here modestly. But we also know there's no compulsion in religion. The Quran doesn't hammer us down to be this way or that way, force us to wear black all the time, look like we're in mourning all the time.
Yes.
And I thank Allah for this community that when Imam Muhammad came into office, he said, sisters, go to your sewing machine and make your beautiful garments. You know, he was even breaking us out of the uniforms of the Nation of Islam that was, although they were very pretty, but they were one cut. You know, it was one specific pattern. Everybody wore that one pattern. And he told us, go to your sewing machines and make your beautiful clothing. And he said, and express yourself through your clothing. So there's no compulsion in religion. And we look around the world, we have problems in the United States, but I wouldn't live anywhere else, because all the Muslim countries that I see, I don't know where they get the Islam from. I don't recognize it from the Quran. And I think it's not there,
Aisha. It's cultural, and they have infused it. And the one thing that I don't want to see, and Imam Muhammad didn't want to see, that bringing cultural, ethnic cultural things into the religion of Al-Islam, because it doesn't have any place. Yes. Go ahead.
So we're gonna hold on to our traditions and our leadership that we have with Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we feel comfortable that we are in accord with the Quran and the Sunnah, and we are comfortable that we follow the Prophet Muhammad, and we pray for the rest of the Muslim world, and especially the Muslim women. And also in terms of this conversation that we had, in terms of age and generations, I like Anissa's take on it.
Yes.
And some of the most important events in our history, especially as African Americans, were not done by old people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got, thank God, some of them got old, and they were able to live a full life, but they didn't start out old in leadership. And the first thing that came to mind, we remember Daniela Fraser. Everybody knows who Daniela is, right? She is that 17-year-old girl that stood there on the sidewalk with her cell phone recording George Floyd's murder.
Yes.
17
yes.
years old, and she stood like a soldier. She didn't budge. She wasn't intimidated by the police officers who tried to make her move. She didn't flinch. She held that phone steady for that 8-point-so-many minutes that she recorded George Floyd being murdered. And then she went to court, and she testified, and she cried. She said she failed George Floyd because he's dead. The only thing she was sorry for was that he died, and she didn't stop it. She felt like it was her duty to stop it.
Allahu Akbar.
You have John Lewis. John Lewis was the youngest soldier in Dr. King's Southern Christian Leadership Conference. John Lewis, that just died, was 20-something years old when he joined Dr. King's army.
Mm-hmm.
Diane Nash, we awarded Diane Nash in Bermuda when we went to Bermuda. Diane Nash was 20-something years old when she brought a busload of Fisk University college students out of Tennessee, headed to Mississippi, and they had been firebombing the buses with students on it coming, the Freedom Riders coming south. Kennedy's representative was already south when he found out Diane Nash was bringing students, a busload of students that she was leading. They didn't even tell their parents where they were going.
Yeah.
They said, we didn't tell our parents we were going to the south to protest. When President Kennedy's representative got a hold of Diane Nash, he told her, young lady, you're going to get all these people killed coming down here. And you know what her response was? Sir, everybody on this bus gave me their last will and testament when they walked up the steps. It was a bus full of students. White guy from D.C., everybody handed me their last will and testament when they walked on the bus.
When they walked on the bus. You know, Aisha, when the next time, and of course, make sure you set it on your calendar. I've already spoken to Joan. We want to have at least one more promotion here on IWDM, maybe just a little bit before Thanksgiving in November leading up to this. And I want to reserve some time for you because you're a walking historian. and all. And I want to, you know,
I'm gonna give you three more, and I'm gonna shut up. Dr. King.
Okay.
39 years old. He didn't make it to 40. He had already won a Nobel Peace Prize. Malcolm, 39 years old, didn't make it to 40.
Yes.
W.D. Muhammad became leader of the Nation of Islam at 42 years old.
Yes.
We can't stop leadership from rising to the top. The only thing old people can do, can boast about, is having good music. We probably had the best music. We had the generation of the best musicians and the best music. But when it comes to the after show, we going to bed. So I hope y'all have a good time.
Well, that's good. And I just want to assure Jada, I was just having some fun with us. Most of us old people will be retiring and going to bed, so they don't have to worry about us, you know, crashing their get together and their talent show and all. I want to say, you know, thank you to all of you. In lieu of the time to be grateful as a word, tolerance is the word thank you. Here's an acronym for you. If you can use it, it's a gold nugget for you. Put it in your purse or put it in your pocket, and if you can't, just throw it in the trash can. But the word, the phrase thank you, to have appreciation now keeps you overcoming ungratefulness. We have a lot to be grateful for. It is a time to be grateful. I want to thank our special guest tonight here on the round table, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, John Najla, and Naima Abdullah, and Jada Hamid for accepting my invitation. Look for another invitation, Aisha and John, somewhere in the middle of November, a little bit before Thanksgiving, before the actual event taking place in the nation's capital. They'll be celebrating their 85th anniversary. That's a very historic masjid that was built from the ground up under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So you know you have an open door policy here at IWDM Radio and the MGM Roundtable. And I want to thank our radio listeners for sticking and staying and not straying away with us here. And I know I'm going to have to buy Rashid Salam lunch and dinner for doing overtime here. That's my good brother and friend that stayed with me engineering tonight's program. Thank the callers for calling in, asking questions, making comments on these productions. And I want to let you know that the beat goes on here as tomorrow would be Thursday, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Salatu Juma, here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production, once again, the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer, where words make people, as he always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And at the beginning of the week, the very distinguished and esteemed Rashid Salam, who's engineering tonight, he hosts, along with Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. That's where you better bring your pen and your notebook. A lot of great information. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to tonight, as each and every Wednesday night. It begins with the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaudin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, and it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As you just heard tonight, our distinguished esteemed guests, representatives of the Time to Be Grateful 2022 to be held in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., December the 9th through the 11th. So you want to be there. You don't want to be square. You don't want to get it secondhand. And we also want you to remember to please remember the Muslim Journal. Make sure that you keep your subscription up. And if you have the wherewithal, think about somebody else that's in the community, maybe a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Wake up, everybody. Time to wake up.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. That's all, folks.